Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
Here we go. I'm typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. Coming up, the latest on the Ireland squad's fitness as they come to terms with the Six Nations Championship slipping from their grasp. The French Rugby Federation are unhappy that sightings against an Irish trio won't be pursued. And the latest on Rabah Slimani's future at Leinster. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, James Lowe is said to have improved following the back spasm that ruled him out of Saturday's Six Nations defeat to France. The Leinster winger limped down the tunnel during the warm-up and was replaced in the starting 15 by Calvin Nash. The Ireland medical staff say a decision on Lowe's involvement in this Saturday's game away to Italy will be made later in the week. The same goes for Ronan Kelleher, who missed the France game with a neck issue. In better news for Simon Easterby, Tadhg Furlong, Mac Hansen and Gary Ringrose will all return this week. Furlong indeed hasn't played for his country since last July's second test in South Africa. In the aftermath of Saturday's 42-27 loss to France, the soon-to-be-retiring loosehead Cian Healy spoke to Off the Ball's Cameron Hill.
Cian, can you just sum up that performance and what the mood is like in the dressing room?
It's fairly down. Everyone's fairly upset about that. We'd bigger plans and bigger intentions for that game, but it was a hell of a battle. Like the watching on that first 30 minutes was very intense, and I thought we had points where we had them on the ropes in that stage, and bodies were starting to tire, and our lads looked all right, but I suppose we didn't capitalise on it, and a few discipline errors then, and we just let them creep in a bit more.
After the second half, well, at the start of the second half, it really felt you got a foothold back. Did you feel there was a moment where the game really turned?
I don't know, turn. It's too hard to think back on that just now. But we tried to come out with a bang after half time and give it a lash. And they probably after 10 minutes or so got a foothold into it again and got the upper hand. It was just getting stuck in defensive repeats near our line. That was the hard part, and that's going to be difficult against a team like them.
It's tough in the overall picture, but getting a try on your Viva farewell must have been a special moment for yourself.
Nice. That's about all. But it would have been nice if we were a little bit closer in the fight.
However, Healy is confident that the younger members of the squad can bounce back from Saturday's disappointment, starting in Rome.
Half the young lads don't know this feeling, and unfortunately, a few of us do, and we know well enough. So I don't think you put an arm around people at all. No, you guide them through the process of get over it and get on with it. And this is professional sport. Suck it up. You can't feel sorry for yourself for too long. It's a lesson you have to learn early in your career. Ideally they would have learned it another year down the line, but I think they'll be fine. They're all strong professionals and they all have good heads on them.
The French Rugby Federation continued to seethe in the wake of Antoine Dupont's injury. The France captain ruptured the cruciate ligaments in his right knee in an incident involving Tadhg Byrne and Andrew Porter. The FFR referred Byrne and Porter to the sighting commissioner on Saturday evening, as well as Calvin Nash, who was yellow carded for a high challenge on Pierre-Louis Barassi. However, no further action, it seems, will be taken against the Ireland trio. FFR president Florian Greel told L'Equipe this morning that he found it disturbing that referee Angus Gardner did not review footage of Dupont's injury on the Aviva's big screens. Greel added that if they want to win the World Cup in 2 years' time, then France must earn more respect at World Rugby and the Six Nations. He finished by saying, "Anger must not take over and we will respect the final decisions, but we are determined to activate all possible appeals to make our voices heard." Alan Quinlan was on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, and he says the manner of Saturday's result massively changes the perception of Ireland as a rugby superpower.
The notion that we're still in that top tier of one of the best teams in the world, like, that's not true anymore, is it?
No, not after this championship. It shows why it's hard to win championships, and, you know, in fairness, Ireland were one game away from possibly been doing something that's never been done, winning a third championship. So, it's probably... you don't feel that this is a once-off. You feel that
things are a little bit different.
While placings equals much-needed prize money, Quinlan says now is the time. While placings equal much-needed prize money, Quinlan says now is the time to be blooding players to have Ireland back up to speed by World Cup time.
A couple of backs that you could have picked in, you know, at the weekend. Jimmy O'Brien has played before. I thought Jimmy O'Brien, Tommy O'Brien or Shane Bolton should have been starting on the wing if Calvin Nash wasn't getting picked. I thought Calvin Nash should have been playing the right wing over, you know, Jamie Osborne is not essentially a winger. Jude Postlewaite, Shane Bolton, Hugh Gavin. We have to see a bit more of these fellas. Hugh Gavin played in the centre over in England in the A game. A lot of stuff went wrong on them and did a load of HIAs. He's a really good player, and hopefully get some of these players through and get a, you know, you're going to have, as I said, you can't bring 10 fellas in and suddenly in November we've 8 new caps.
Yeah, it'll be a period of time.
There has to be a bit of a surge on now to try and look at some of these guys actually starting a big game against a big team. With not
something on the line.
Yeah, with 3 or 4, like, you're not going to, you don't make 7 or 8 new caps in a November test match against Australia or South Africa. We can't do that. But just a couple of these players, we have to hope.
There's lots more from Quinny and tonight's Monday Night Rugby with Jerry Thornley and Andy Dunn, which you can hear by becoming an Off The Ball member now. In further rugby coverage, there'll also be a chat with the recently retired Springboks prop, Stephen Kitsoff, on tonight's show. England have called up uncapped Bath centre Max Ajomo to replace his injured teammate Ollie Lawrence ahead of their Six Nations clash with Wales. The 25-year-old Lawrence suffered an Achilles injury early in their win over Italy at Twickenham. Lawrence could now be a doubt for the Lions tour of Australia later this year. Ajomo is the son of former England flanker Steve Ajomo, who was a staple of the England squad of the mid-90s. England went almost half an hour of the second half of yesterday's win over Italy without scoring, and Steve Borthwick admits that's something that they need to work on.
There's always areas to work upon, and I've always said that. I think that the team did a really good job today. If you start putting that into context, I think, what did Scotland score, 31 against Italy? You know, the team's gone and done a good job there today. It was tough, especially with that early injury to one of our main strike carriers, one of the guys who brings power to our back line. And so that caused a major disruption. And I think the players adapted to it really well.
England remain in the hunt for this year's Six Nations title, provided they win in Cardiff and France drop points at home to Scotland. Borthwick, though, says they'll just be concentrating on their own game.
Yeah, well, we'll do. All you can do is go down to Cardiff next weekend and put in a performance and get the result that we want. And that's what we will concentrate upon our work upon this week. I think the players are doing a magnificent job. I think you can see the way the team's developing, led by Marrow, and we'll continue to try and just take another step forward this week.
Just finally on the injuries, how's Ollie Lawrence?
Yeah, it's an Achilles injury that we'll know more in the next 48 hours when he has the scans and sees a specialist. You know, fingers crossed, it's not quite as severe as we fear it might be. He'll get the very, very best care. He'll see the very, very best people to be looked after.
Finally, Rabah Slimani looks set to extend his stay at Leinster. The 35-year-old has put in a string of impressive performances in a blue shirt this season following his arrival from Clermont last summer. Such has been Slimani's impact on the Leinster scrum that he earned a recall to the France squad after more than 5 years absence. Slimani was part of the wider squad named by Fabien Galthié ahead of this year's Six Nations. He's made 14 appearances for Leinster this season, and Leo Cullen has told Rugby Daily recently that the province were keen on keeping him beyond his 1 year stay. Racing 92 had made direct contact with Slimani in the hopes of attracting him home, but Midi Olympique say he's agreed to a further year with Leinster. It's Rugby Daily's understanding that deal will be confirmed later this week. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll have more Rugby Daily for you thanks to Bank of Ireland tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
I want there to be a sense of freedom for the Lions to play. this is the best of the best. This is aspirational. That's what I'm looking at when I look at the Lions.
What do you want? It's heart. That's all we want. 15 hearts, 15 minds on the same tune. That's what we want from the start to the end.
And I've read a huge amount of negative commentary, whether this is an anachronistic imperial team. But this is a tradition of over 100 years of the coming together of four teams that it's incredibly awkward. People say, well, when Northern Hemisphere teams can go down and beat a Southern Hemisphere team, why do we need four teams to do it? It's because of the rarity value. It's because of the difficulty of it. It is because of the coming together of the four teams. It's how you get somebody to plant a philosophy on top of those so that this becomes a tour for the ages. Because that's aspirational.
It's what you're looking for. It's what I'll never dream for. It's our day, our biggest day.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.